Welcome to As We See the Day Approaching. And that's looking to be ever closer, isn't it? Wow. But today's June 17th, 2022. And I have a very special guest with us, my dear and precious friend, Ozzy Watchman. And Ozzy's going to share some of the things the Lord's laying on his heart for the body of Christ in this very critical hour, and more on that in a minute. But let's first ask the Lord's hand upon all spoken and received here today. Father, we come before you to praise your holy name, to give you thanks in all things for this time to join together with our brothers and sisters worldwide. We ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide every word spoken. May we get out of the way and allow our mouths to be used by you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind the hand of the enemy in any attempts and assigns to hinder this message. And thank you for your protective angels being sent forth right now, yes, to protect us and those who will hear this message in the days to come. Praise you, Father God. And we ask all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Ozzy was on with us a few programs back. And let's see, that was titled Remnant Bride versus Bride of Satan, in case you'd like to go back and take a listen. But at that time, he talked about the assignment God's given him in the midst of a small town full of witches. And now this is Diana saying this, but I feel God's given Ozzy a crash course, if you will, in dealing with the devil and his minions. And he'll be the first to tell you, he's by no means an expert at all and still in training. We're all in training here. But we talk and we pray together pretty often. And we were on the phone the other day when the discussion turned to basically to equipping the remnant, you know, the bride, to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil in this hour. And the Holy Spirit immediately prompted me to set this call up with our brother. So Ozzy, this is where I really want to silence my mic so you can share whatever the Lord's put on your heart for those listening. And I'll jump in here and there, maybe if there's questions I have about maybe what we talked about, clarification, etc. So as led, but go ahead if you will.
Okay. Hello, everybody. I'd just like to start with the first thing that I actually open up my day with. It's actually the benediction that I grew up in church with, and I've rediscovered it, and I do it every day. I pray it for myself and those around me. So I just want to pray it for all of us. And it's from Numbers 6, 24 to 26. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Lord. Ooh, thank you. Ooh. Great. Ah, I don't know about you, but I can always feel the presence of God come over me whenever I feel that, whenever I say that, whenever I pray that. You know, it's a real blessing. Okay, so the last time I was on, I was talking to everyone about finding ourselves in a little country town in Australia that God had led me to move to get away from the cities before everything that's happened has happened. Coming under some major attack, and I had no idea what was going on, but I was praying my little heart out saying, what is going on? And God started opening up my eyes that not only did we have a big Freemasons temple in town, There was a coven full of witches, and how covert it all was, and how I was being followed around. And there was some real witchcraft attacks. I was having some very strange dreams. I started to become aware that I was under such covert attack that nobody would actually have seen it. There's actually a word for it that's actually got a lot of attention over the years. At first, it was considered a conspiracy theory. Of course, everything that's true is called a conspiracy theory. It's called gang stalking, where gangs of people or government or Freemasons or whoever targets people, and they do it. It's like what the Chinese are actually doing to Taiwan at the moment. They fly their planes just near their territorial waters or just over. You know, they don't actually touch. They don't actually do anything. So they've got plausible deniability, but it's actually a form of harassment, and it's actually a psychological warfare. And that's what was happening to me, but with a whole bunch of people. And it started about a month after I got here. And I did talk about that in the first broadcast. And I did say in the last broadcast, and there was also something that I wrote up for the Mighty Hand of God about God's armor, because I found that although I had been putting on the armor of God every single day for years, I learnt through bitter experience that I didn't know how to use it. And the next section of this is all about me having to learn how to use the armor that I had on, but I didn't know how to use. And of course, I was never taught how to use it in church. And although I've been going to church since I was a child, had some terrible experiences in the church and left the church and established church anyway, and had to find my way with God quite apart from the church. And he's given me a crash course. And so I wanted to talk about, and I mentioned this in the last talk, and I gave it a name because I didn't quite know what to call it. Hybrid techno witchcraft. Hybrid techno witchcraft. Of course, we're all talking about hybrids now. Everything's a hybrid. There's a reason for that. That's a whole other program in itself, but I call this hybrid techno witchcraft because I found personally one of the ways I deal with the way I feel about things is that if I can find the correct words to put to the feelings and say it, I can get it outside of myself, so I'm not feeling it so much and I can actually look at it more clearly. And I started noticing this in the last place that I was living. I started putting pipes all underneath the road, and it was very, very strange because all of a sudden I could start feeling these frequencies. I didn't know that they were frequencies. I just knew that I started getting tenser and tenser and tenser, and everybody around me started getting more tense and more tense and more tense. And there was a lot of fighting going on that had never happened in the place where I was living, in the beautiful mountains, close to a big city in Australia, but it was very countrified. And then all of a sudden it all calmed down. No, it had never been like that. Everyone always considered it to be a beautiful place to live, where there was a lot of peace and everybody got on. And this would happen on a constant basis. And I noticed there was a lot of road rage and people fighting when they never had before. My next door neighbor, who was also a Christian and quite a sensitive fellow, we used to talk quite a bit. And he said that he could feel the same thing, because I thought I was going a bit nuts. I thought maybe I'm just imagining things. And it'd start to ramp up. You could feel it. And everyone would just get really tense, and I'd feel really tense. And then all of a sudden it'd just start to sort of like go back. And it's like, oh, everything's going back to normal. It's like, then they'd start ramping it, or whatever it was, it would start ramping up again. It'd come and it'd go, come and it'd go. And all sorts of troubles started to happen. And I don't know what they were doing, but they were doing something really quite strange with the frequencies. It was frequencies. personally, I think that they'd actually installed some kind of a frequency tower up where we were living sneakily, which the local councils are known to do. I think that personally, it's my conjecture that they were testing out 5G up there. But I can't say that for sure. All I know is what I was feeling and observing, and my friend, two or three witnesses who was living next door, confirmed that he was experiencing exactly the same thing. But this is what I wanted to talk about. It's I thought, what is going on, God? What is going on with this? This has never happened before, and it's only been since they started putting all these pipes underneath the ground, so supposedly to when trees come down to stop the power lines from coming down. But the power lines are still there. So what have they put under the ground? I was going, what is going on? And I came up with this word. And it was so strange at the time. It was around the year 2017 I started coming up with this concept that what we were dealing with was a type of witchcraft, but a techno witchcraft. It's all frequency. And this was even a frequency, just like normal frequencies come and go and come and go in frequency. They were somehow dealing with frequencies, and it was affecting everybody. And not in a good way. And so I came up with this term, hybrid techno witchcraft. And I thought, this sounds nuts. Better keep that to yourself, Aussie, because if you say this to too many people, they're going to think you're nuts, you know, I'm not a stranger to being considered nuts anyway, but I don't care because I turn out to be right every time, you know. Funny how no one can remember ever calling me nuts when it actually turns out to be true. Anyway, so I started coming up with that concept. My mate and I, we fled the area anyway. It got that bad. We came up here thinking to myself, oh, gee, you know, we've escaped all that. Only to find ourselves right in the middle, smack bang, in the middle of a town that's full of witches and full on Freemasonry. And the way they do it, a normal onlooker watching the way they do their witchcraft, it would look like the most normal thing in the world. No one just watching would think that they're doing anything unusual. And yet they are, because it's all done in the spirit realm. It's all done invisibly. And I could wax eloquent about that further on. But I do know, but I could feel it. I could feel it. I was having strange dreams, strange experiences in my dreams. Also, if it wasn't for the fact that my mates actually caught them, saw them doing it, I actually caught them doing a witchcraft circle towards me. I actually saw them. I didn't think I'd notice. And another girlfriend of mine who actually lives here, who was experiencing a similar thing, who's not a Christian, actually caught them doing a witchcraft ritual, and she videoed it. They didn't know that she was there. She videoed it and she sent it to me. So here I was thinking, am I imagining things? No, I was not. So it's been quite the trip. But I want you to understand with this that this is something that's really, really, really not new. This is actually something that's really, really ancient, that's actually been going on for a while. And it's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. I call it hybrid techno witchcraft because the technology that we are using, the technology that the powers that be are using, is what you would call witchcraft. If you took somebody from, say, the 1800s and you plonked them down here in the year 2022 and they saw everything that was going on around here, like that black box, that screen in your lounge room, and all of a sudden you point a wand at that and all of a sudden there's moving pictures, there's sound coming out of it, they would think it's there. They'd think that's witchcraft, especially when you change the channel, you know, or where's that music coming from when there's no band? A whole bunch of things. They would think that it is witchcraft, that it'd be terrifying for them. And in actual fact, just like boiling frogs, we've grown up with it. It is a form of witchcraft. That's exactly what it is. And that's why it's so important that we know how to use the armor, not just that we've got the armor on, but that we're actually using the armor that God has given us, and how we use that armor. Because we're dealing with witchcraft, and I just want to bring a point to you very, very clearly. A lot of people would be aware of all of those cows that all of a sudden were just cut, thousands and thousands of cows over, and I think it's in Texas, no, Kansas, that just died all of a sudden. They're trying to say that it's the weather, even though it doesn't make any sense, because, you know, there's thousands and thousands more cows everywhere else, and it's hot over there anyway at the moment. Thousands and thousands of cows don't just die on the spot in one state because of the weather. We're talking about, I think they're called high energy beams or electromagnetic beams, high energy beams being shot. Now, there's video footage of this thing actually happening with the fires over in California, where whole streets of houses were burnt to a crisp, that the trees were left standing. Now, how is that possible? There's actually video footage, there's actual photo footage of an electromagnetic beam blasting that. All of those birds all of a sudden just dying and falling out of the sky. Things like that just don't happen unless something's doing it. And you've got to remember, we've had loads and loads of satellites, so all put in the air, all put up in the sky, all broadcasting frequencies. Everything's done with frequency. You've got to understand, it's all frequency. You've got to remember, it's very important that we are dealing with frequency, especially from the air, because Satan is the prince and power of the air. That's one of his titles. So it makes perfect sense that he would actually use the air as his main operation with his MO, which is to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. It's like, what's your choice there? So how do you hold on to that, have life and have it more abundantly? Well, you've got to take it, you know. So we're living in the days where we're actually watching witchcraft being utilized against us, but at a very, very, very high level of witchcraft. And I say frequency, why frequency is used, because you've got to understand that sound is frequency. Sound is a type of frequency. And you've got to remember, we're dealing with the word, and the word is frequency. The word creates sound waves. Everything's held together by the word. And of course, Jesus Christ is the word of God. So everything that we see, at this whole world, this whole reality that we actually live in, is all held together with sound. It's all held together with frequencies. It's all held together with the word. And what witchcraft has learned to do, what the devil has learned to do, is how to corrupt the code of life, or the word. Jesus Christ is the code of life. He is the word. The devil actually corrupts that code and uses frequency to corrupt that and distort how things should actually work by using frequencies. And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with frequencies. Now, just recently Canberra, there were some big protests right around here, right around Australia, because of the way everything was being done by our governments, with the shutdowns, the lockdowns, and the vax mandates, and all that sort of stuff. And millions of people have protested in almost every single city actually, and even Canberra. But one of the big protests in Canberra, people came away with burns on their faces, and it's quite obvious that they've actually been targeted with some sort of an electromagnetic energy beam, where they've been burnt and they've suffered from it. There's been cases over in the States. I think it's called, it was done in Cuba, to a lot of the heads of the bureaucracy there from the US embassy, where they actually came away with some really serious head injuries from being targeted by electromagnetic beams, invisible. We're dealing with a technological type of witchcraft. That's what we're dealing with. And we need to know how to be protected by that, from that, because this is the thing that I really want to get across here. Like, of course, the powers that be are acting like it's not happening. Of course, the media is not covering it, or if they do, they try and give another reason for it. But it's clear that we're under attack. It's clear that there is a war going on that has not been declared. It's a very, very different type of war than the sort of war that we've grown up with or that we've been taught about. It is a war by an enemy that plays both sides right in front of us. And of course, it's a spiritual war, but it's actually using human agents that have sold out to it to actually make that happen too. And we need to know how to fight that war with the weaponry that God has given us. And that's really one of the things that I wanted to talk about here, because I've been given a crash course. And now I think I did cover what God said to me. I'll just cover that very, very quickly, because it is actually, in hindsight, as I've had to dig deeply into scripture, given me a real clear understanding of what God was telling me, and also in some of these verses. You should know that whenever God gives me a vision or he speaks to me, he always makes it quite clear through the vision or his speaking that the Bible is very, very literal. It is not a metaphor. It is not poetry or some sort of other literary device to demonstrate something else. It is very, very literal. And we need to take it that way too. Unless it's clearly shown to be a metaphor in scripture, it's you should take it literally. And I'll tell you why, and I'll go back to this, because I want to go into how to use the weapons of warfare, because we're in a war. And it's really important to know how to use the weapons, but what our position is too. Now, I was sitting at the side of the house and I was looking up on the road, and we've got quite a bit of acreage around us, and I was licking my wounds and feeling sorry for myself, and the Holy Spirit came to me and said, rise up, O mighty man of valor, rise up and be encouraged, for I am with you. And they can see it and they don't like it, and they've had control of this town for a long time, they don't want to relinquish it, but they will. There's been a concerted effort to discredit you. And I just said immediately, I mean, this is, I suppose, telepathically, my immediate response was, how? How are you going to do that? And immediately I had a vision of what looked like a clam or some sort of an oyster, very, very tightly held closed. And I saw this sword, like a sharp knife, like a shucking knife, prying it open and breaking it open and thrusting the top half off. And what was shown in the center of it, where you would see an oyster or the clam flesh, I saw this black, dried up, shriveled up, disgusting, vile thing on the inside of it. And I went, okay, now I can run with that. Okay, so, well, God knows me well enough to know that I would take that as the, I'm to speak that out. I mean, that was basically the Rhema word of God. So that's what I've done. And I believe that. He'd also said to me prior to that, they think this town is theirs, but it's not theirs, it's his. He's put his name on this town. Of all the places I've lived, I've never, although I know that everything is God's, I've never had God specifically say to me that this town is his. So he's put his name here. What I can gather from what he has told me and shown me is that these witches, warlocks, wizards, are squatters. Somewhere along the line, God has put his name here. Something has happened here where God has put his name here. I don't know how ancient that is, but that's what has happened. Because, and God always calls it this town. He actually doesn't ever mention the actual name. He calls it this town. And this town actually covers quite a big area. It's not a small area, but it covers quite a lot of area, a lot of farmland. And there's a lot of waterways here. And it's all farming land. Anyway, when he told me that, I started confessing that out and speaking that out. Well, they've certainly got a shock. They've certainly backed off a lot of the shenanigans which can be found in the last broadcast that they were doing. They're not doing anymore, and they're not happy about that. And I know they're not happy about that, because whenever they feel powerful enough to start having a go at me, I can really feel anger. They're not clearly, just by my, they don't like my presence in town, because they all come out when I'm there. They all come out and they start, but it just bounces off me. It's not having anywhere near the effect, but they're always trying something new. The devil is relentless. They're relentless. They was trying to find something. So once God showed me that, I started going, I've got to know how to use this. Like, how do I use this weaponry? And he took me to 2 Corinthians 10:4-14. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Now, what you need to understand is I'm actually quite a confronting person. I have got no qualms about hitting someone straight on. And if they're doing something I don't like, I've got no qualms about telling them to their face, you've got to stop that. You've got to stop all this rubbish. I'm not going to put up with it. Don't, just stop. Back off. Don't come near me. I've got no problem with doing something like that. Nothing, right? But God had told me not to engage. He told me specifically not to engage. This, which went right against my natural way of dealing with things. And quite frankly, I think it's because he wanted me to teach me how to engage in the way that they were engaging, and that is in the spirit realm. And the first thing he needed to tell me was that the weapons of my warfare are not carnal. Now, if I'd actually gone up to them and said, you've got to stop it, that would be operating in my carnal. I'm quite a big fellow, you know, I'm quite an imposing, I've got a strong personality, as you can tell from my voice, I'm no shrinking violet. When I tell people to do something, they usually do it. God told me not to engage like that. So I had to engage his way, which is always the best way. So for the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now, this is very interesting. This phrase, it's been translated incorrectly, because the most important thing to understand here is our position, right? Got to remember that we've actually been raised with Jesus Christ together. You've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, and you've been baptized. You're identifying with his death and his resurrection. When you are, when you've taken communion, you are partaking in his broken body and his blood. You are his flesh and blood. You're part of his body. And it says that we've been raised with him together in the heavenly realms. That is our position. Now, our physical bodies might be here, but our spiritual bodies, which is the real us, is actually in heaven with Jesus Christ. We've already died. We've already passed from death unto life. Jesus Christ died for us. He took all that upon himself. He bore all of our diseases and our infirmities. The chastisement for our peace was put on Jesus Christ, and by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. All of those things, that death, he died for us. That's why he's conquered. That's why he's conquered death. He's actually taken it and risen up, and we're in him. We've got to understand that we're beyond that. We're actually beyond that now. We're actually in the spirit realm. We've already passed from death unto life. We've already gone through that because he went through it for us. That's our victory. We've got the victory in him because he actually already did it. He's already been down to hell. He's already spoken to and to preach to those in the prison. He's already opened the gates. He's already freed the captives. He's already taken the keys of hell and death from Satan. He's taken those keys from him. He has defeated Satan. He has disarmed him. Satan is a disarmed enemy. He is defeated. And Jesus made a spectacle of that right in front of the entire universes. He made an absolute spectacle of it and was raised up far above all power, principality, ruler, or throne, or dominion, and every name that can be named, and seated at the right hand of God. And all power in heaven and earth is being given to Jesus Christ in this age and the one to come. So that's all power. All power. Any power that anybody gets comes from him by request, and he's given it to us. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. That's what we need to understand. And we need to understand that that's where our position is. And when it says for the pulling down of strongholds, that's been badly translated. I looked up the Greek. I can't find the Greek. I don't have it right in front of me. But another word for the phrase pulling down translated in English is the word demolishing strongholds. It should actually read a better rendition of that should be, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the demolishing of strongholds. You see, because when you say pulling down of strongholds, it gives the impression that we're underneath somehow. We are not. We're above, you see. And so it should read that our weapons are mighty in God for the demolishing of strongholds. And here we go, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So there we go. You see, they're using, the devil has to use carnal weapons. He's using carnal weapons, physical weapons. Human beings, he uses these satellite energy beams, frequency beams, but it's all carnal stuff. We've actually been given weapons that are not carnal, and our position is from the heavenlies. Now, if you're trying to fight Satan and his works from a position of being underneath, you've already lost. You can know what your weaponry is. You can even know how to use it. But until you know that you're actually in positioned above him from the highest ground, and all authority has been given you to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the evil one, and nothing shall by any means harm you. And until you know that, you're screwed. You need to know that. That's a key to actually winning. And this is what God showed me about using the weapons with that clam, that how he used that picture of a clam when he showed me how he's going to make those who think that they've had control of this town for a long time and they don't want to relinquish it, but they will. And I went, how? He brought me to verse Luke 11, 21 to 22. When a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder. There's so much in this verse. And I've got the visual knowledge that God gave me. And I didn't quite understand it at the time. I thought that the whole oyster was representative of that spirit. It wasn't. It was its armor. This horrible, black, dried up thing that God showed me was inside the oyster, was actually the strong man. It was using the hard shell of this clam that was tightly held shut to give it the appearance of life. And it was a very hard shell to try and penetrate. But God took his sword of the Spirit to pry it open and to take its armor away, thrust it out. He thrust out the top half and then exposed the black, shriveled up, dead, vile thing on the inside. And this is a perfect example of that. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. And that shriveled up dead thing in this town was the strong man. At one stage, it must have been alive, I'm assuming, but it had some very, very strong armor around it. And God took the sword of the Spirit, pried it open, broke it open, divided it. You know, and it says, you know, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand, but it's left to itself desolate. So he divided that. He divided it, thrust it out, and exposed it. Yes, there was a strong man, but the strong man wasn't what everybody thought it was. Everyone thought the strong man was this big clan kind of shell type thing that looked impenetrable. But when someone stronger than that strong man, who is Jesus Christ, and that's what I've claimed, hey, somebody stronger than you has come and has overpowered you. Jesus Christ is that one who is stronger than you, who has taken his sword of the Spirit against you, pried you open, broken you open, and he has taken away your armor in which you have trusted, and we're dividing up your plunder. Now, you're going to understand, right? Okay. It's very interesting. This last bit of the verse, which says, which the man trusted and divides up his plunder. Now, I could have read, it doesn't read like this, but it could have read, and takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his belongings. But it doesn't say that. It says, and divides up his plunder. Now, plunder is something that somebody else, plunder is something that you've stolen from somebody else. That's plunder is something that you've gone in and you've taken from someone else. You've attacked them and you've actually stolen it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be called plunder, it'd be called belongings, you know? So what you've got to understand is, it's like when that strong man, someone stronger, attacks that strong man and takes away his armor in which he's trusted, you're dividing up the plunder that he's taken from somebody else. That's us. That's us. That's the Christians. That's you and me. The stuff that Satan has actually stolen from us because we were too dumb to use the armor. We were too stupid to stand, too lazy, too cowardly, too ignorant, didn't know, weren't taught. So all we're doing is taking back what has been stolen from us. And that's when Proverbs kicks in. You've got to understand, it's all spiritual law. It's like, and the devil's a legalist, you know, everything. The Bible is universal law. He knows that he's actually got to obey it, but he needs to know that you're going to stand. See, Ephesians 6, we're told to stand. And I'm just going to look at this, actually, Ephesians 6, and I didn't actually have it up. I'll just get that up now, because it's a very, very interesting verse where a lot of people miss it. Yes, we might know about what the armor says, but we missed the first bit and the second bit, which is really, really important. Just looking for it on the computer here. Okay, this is it. This is where people miss it. This is where I missed it. Finally, my brethren, this is verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Whose might? My might? Your might? No, his might. Be strong in the power of his might, okay? And once we're strong in the power of his might, then we put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, so this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're dealing against the wiles of the devil's strategy. We're dealing with his strategy. Remember, he's been disarmed. He's actually been defeated. Look, if the devil was so strong, he wouldn't have to do things in secret. Now, you've got to respect your enemy. That's for sure. You know, and the Bible says to do that, to respect your enemy. But you've got to remember that he has been disarmed and he is defeated. And so he has to do things in secret. The reason he does things so secretly, the reason why he hides, is because if he came out directly and did what he was doing, then he'd get resistance. And he knows that we've actually won the victory in Jesus Christ. He knows that we've already won. What he's absolutely petrified of is finding out that we have and standing, you see. What we're dealing with is we need to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, that word stand within that has been mentioned three times. In verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand. Then it says, that's what we're doing. We're taking on, in verse 13, we're taking on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand in the evil day, and having all done to stand. And then it says, stand therefore. That's four times. We need to learn to stand. We need to know what we've got. We need to know what position we're in. We're in the position in the heavenlies. We need to use our armor and stand. And we stand by using the sword of the Spirit. The sword, if you don't know the word of God, you don't have a sword to use. You must know the word of God, because once you actually speak out the word of God, that's a sword in your mouth. The devil can't stand up against that. He might try, but eventually he's going to cave, because the word of God is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is our victory. He's already overcome the world. He's already overcome. He's already defeated Satan. We need to stand in that victory. We need to learn to stand in that victory. And what you need to understand is all of the New Testament is our victory. It's our victory. It is our covenant with God. It is our constitution. The constitution of the kingdom of God is the New Testament. And it's a last will and testament. And it even says in Romans that basically someone's got to die before the last will and testament comes into force. Well, that's one of the reasons why Jesus Christ did die, so that we could actually have the inheritance of the New Testament. And that's our constitution. We need to stand up for our constitution, because the devil will always be trying to take bites out of that constitution. He'll always be trying to take bites out of your inheritance. And if you don't stand and you give it up, you end up being slave once again. And that's what's been happening to all the Western world constitutions. That's all their testaments. Most of our constitutions in the Western world have been based on the Bible. And because the people have forgotten about God, because Christians haven't known to stand, we've been losing our constitutions. If evil men and women have been walking all over it, all the agents of Satan have been walking all over it and turning us into slaves again when we've been made free. And what's been happening in the spirit realm, where we've given up our positions to Satan stupidly by not standing, is just finding its outworking in our own constitutions, in our own physical lands. Everything happens in the spirit realm before it actually happens in the physical realm. What we're seeing in the physical realm with people that are in lockdown, dun, 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 lockdown, restrictions and all this kind of stuff, forced inoculations. It's slavery, you know, and it's because we haven't made the stand. It's all very well and good to know that you've got the armor. It's you know, it's good to have it on. But if you're not using it, and if you're not using it to do what you're supposed to do, and we're told to stand four times at the beginning of that, we're told to use the armor to stand, and we haven't been doing it. We've been giving up ground through ignorance. And now, in many cases, you know, if we don't stand and take back ground, take back that ground and make that stand while we still can, we're not only losing our spiritual constitution, but we're losing our physical constitutions in the lands of the free. It's really important that the Western world stays free, because that's where the word of God is coming out of. It's very, very important. That's why freedom of speech was actually instituted. It wasn't so that the press can say whatever it likes. It was actually so that the word of God could get out to everybody. And God has actually used the United States and Australia to do that. And they're trying to shut it down. Of course, they're trying to shut it down. It's got nothing to do with anything except trying to shut down people from speaking the word of God. Because the word of God is the sword of the spirit. The word of God is true. It is spiritual law. It's God's law. And they don't want you to know that. So what we need to get from this, and I'm talking to me too here. I mean, I'm learning this. Sometimes I learn stuff when it comes out of my mouth. And it's like, oh, I didn't know that I knew that. And I needed to start talking it before it actually registered with my brain, because it came from somewhere else deep inside me that obviously God has put there over the years. And it's really quite interesting when you find out that you knew stuff that you didn't know that you knew. So I'm learning too here. So what we need to understand is, first of all, our position. We're not underneath. You know, the earth is God's footstool. We're part of his body. That's why we've been told that we have authority. Jesus has given us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the evil one. Now, this satellite technology, these beams, these high energy beams, all that kind of weaponry, you know, that's all been placed in the atmosphere above the earth. And for anybody who still thinks that they're actually on the earth, that could be a terrifying prospect, because it's above, you know. But when you actually realize that you're way above that, then it's nothing. You can tread on it. You know, it comes under the category of all the power of the evil one. And we've been given authority to trample over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the evil one. And that's what that is. It's all the power of the evil one. We've been given the power to trample on it. And you must do that. You must do it. Just imagine it. Just imagine under your feet. I do it. Crushing those satellites, all those things that have been placed there in the heavenlies under our feet in Jesus Christ's name. We've been given the gift of the keys of the kingdom. And whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. It's like we've been given that gift. Are you using it? Do it, you know, and just keep on doing it. You must insist. God's word is final. The devil's stubborn, and he's very cheeky, and so are his minions. And they'll try and challenge you just to see whether you actually believe it or not. But you've got to keep insisting, because he's relentless. Just as soon as you've actually won one battle or one standing, they'll try and find another angle. Yeah, they'll start with that. You've got to be persistent. You've got to be relentless. You've got to be relentless in your pursuit, because it's a war, and it's heading up. And the reason why the devil's got so bold is because he thinks he can. And the fact is, he's got good reason to think that. Why do you think we've had a stupid, wimpy, non-powerful gospel being preached to us in these prosperity doctrines, give to God and God will make you rich, for so long, that puts a focus on the carnal rather than equipping the saints? Why? Because the devil had to compromise the church first before he could do anything else. Well, he got everybody in the church getting new houses and giving to God so that God will make them rich and having big houses and jets and whatever. Meanwhile, he was busy compromising leaders, leaders who lead our nation, because we weren't being the salt of the earth that we were supposed to be. He compromised the leaders. And I can show you what we find ourselves in Ezekiel 8 of all of this. What's going on here is nothing new. What's going on is just another pattern of things that have happened in the past and happened in Israel. I'm going to take back to Ezekiel's fascinating book. I'm just going to read a little bit about what Ezekiel was shown. And Ezekiel was shown in the spirit. God picked him up and he took him to Jerusalem and he took him to the temple of Jerusalem in Ezekiel 8. And I'm just trying to find the place here. Hang on, let me see, where is it? He was taken, shown all the wickedness in the actual temple that was going on in secret in God's temple. Temple's been the porch, 20. Okay, all right. Then he said to me, have you this? In Ezekiel 8, we actually find Ezekiel 8 and 9, we find Ezekiel taken into the temple, digging through a hole in the wall, and God showing him all the leaders of Israel in the temple, in a very secret place in the temple, with all the abominations of the gods around them in that cave, in that hole in the wall, worshiping the other gods, the idol worship. And it was plain pagan worship, and it was the leaders of Israel, and God called it an abomination. And he was absolutely offended, and he said to Ezekiel, because of all of this sort of thing, I'm going to take my glory from this place, from this temple. I'm going to leave it. And he did take the glory from that original temple, and then it was destroyed not long after that. And that's what's been going on in the church. That's what's been going on in our country. Even our church leaders that have compromised, you know, who are they worshiping? What are they worshiping? I don't know about you, but we've actually just recently, in recent times, we've actually had it exposed. We've had a big, it's called a Royal Commission, which is a kind of like a congressional inquiry, I suppose. If I'm talking to people in the United States, it'd be a similar thing. A Royal Commission is like the biggest kind of investigation you can have into institutional child abuse. And what's come out of that, and it's gone on for years now, is that in our institutions, especially our Christian institutions, and also some of our big, big churches, have been found guilty of not just protecting pedophiles who are in positions of power, as in ministers, pastors, Catholic priests, but also guilty of doing it. Now, pedophilia is part of Satan worship. That's a big part of it. So we've just had all that exposed, and there's actually a lot more to come out that was actually they didn't allow the public to know. And I know that that's actually been exposed over the United States as well. And this is the sort of thing. It's like, what has actually been going on with our leaders, the people who are, I don't know, religious royalty in the people's eyes, were actually men and women who have been actually worshiping at a different altar, and not the altar of God. And the glory of God has, in many cases, left those churches. Ichabod is written right across them. And that's why a lot of people, true seekers of God, have left the church, have been pushed out of the church. Another spirit's actually taken over that church, and it's the spirit of the Antichrist. And he likes to look just like Christ, likes to sound and smell and taste like Christ, but he just isn't Christ. It isn't Christianity, because they allowed another spirit, another Jesus, another gospel into their church, which is actually written about in Galatians. And it's very, very real. It's like in Galatians, when he talks about that, Paul actually says to them, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Now, when Paul says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" That's no poetic turn of phrase. That's no metaphor. Witchcraft was very, very prevalent in the day that Paul lived. Everybody knew about witchcraft, absolutely everybody, because all the nations around them were practicing witchcraft. Their religion was basically Satanism. they had various different gods and goddesses that they were worshipping, but they were all basically just different names for Satan and the goddess or Jezebel. But different names, different faces, same spirit, but tailor-made to the culture of the day. It was the Israeli people who were supposed to stand out as the true religion. So witchcraft was very well known. He wasn't using a lovely turn of phrase or a metaphor. He was stating categorically, you've got a different Jesus in your church. This is not the Jesus that I'm teaching you. And if anybody comes, even if an angel comes and teaches a different Jesus and a different gospel to you, let him be anathema. And another word for anathema is let him be accursed. So he was basically calling those who were preaching this different Jesus, this different gospel, witches. That's what he was calling them. And he wasn't mucking around. That's what it was. And it's very important for you to understand that's what has happened to the church. And it's because we weren't reading our Bibles. It's because we didn't know. We were trusting those in so-called authority to do our thinking for us. We've been lazy. We've allowed it. And we need to repent of that. We really, really do, because this is on us. This is on you and me. But I digress. What we're talking about is the armor of God and how to utilize it. We need to stand up for righteousness. That's why we've got the breastplate of righteousness. It covers your heart. You know, we need to be operating in that armor of God. And it's very, very real. It's very, very visual. It's the armor of light. It's actually called the armor of light. Now, we might not be able to see it with our physical eyes, but remember, our weapons are not carnal. They're spiritual. Witches who see the spirit realm frequently, that's part of what they do, can see it. They actually can see it. But they also know if you don't know how to use it. They also know if you're not listening to God about how to use it as well. But when they do encounter someone who knows how to use it, they freak out. And I've seen that. I've seen them freak out. And I just want to go into something here, just talking to you about what the leaders have actually been doing and talking about our using the armor of God and standing and how the New Testament is our constitution of the kingdom of God, and how, because we haven't been claiming that constitution, claiming that inheritance, how that has actually whittled away at our physical constitutions in our countries that have been built upon the foundation of the Almighty God of heaven. This is actually the plot and the scheme of those who would be leaders of our nations are actually addressed in Psalm 2, where it says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Who is his anointed? You and me. Where he is anointed, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. Look, they can't get to God. They can't get to him. But they try and get to us because we're here. Our physical bodies are here. We're his anointed. And they say, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. This is what the kings of the earth are actually plotting against the people. This is what we're seeing. This is the war that we're seeing. It's been a long, long protracted war. Don't you understand that our constitutions, our covenants with gods in our countries are actually the bonds and the cords that have been tying up these rulers and kings of the earth? It's put restrictions on what they can do. And they really don't like that. The US Constitution, the Australian Constitution, the Canadian Constitution, all the constitutions of the Western world are based on the Bible, have inherent rights given by God and acknowledged it. it is a covenant between God and the people, and it purposely puts bonds and cords on the government and restricts what they can do. And it's because very wisely our forefathers knew that governments have a tendency to not like bonds and cords, and they'll eventually turn into tyranny if they don't have those bonds and cords. They don't like it, and so this is what they've been doing. They've been taking counsel together. Just remember all of those leaders of Israel and the hole in the wall taking counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. That's what all these laws are all about. This is why they're trying to get rid of free speech. This is why they're trying to get the Constitution, the Bill of Rights demolished. But we can take hope in it. It goes on to say, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill in Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. There's that word again, inheritance. And the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. So you gather from that. That all the kings of the earth have set themselves up against God. They scheme against God and his anointed and want to throw off the laws, throw off all those things that they think are binding them because they want to rule. They want to take the place of God, just like Satan wanted to be like God. But I think it's in Ezekiel again, I will be like the Most High. God went, I don't think so. And he thrust him out. So the same spirit motivates these kings of the earth that would want to be like God. They want to take over what God has. And our countries, our nations have been dedicated to God. All of these big protests, peaceful protests and all that sort of stuff, it's like they're laughing. They don't care because obviously they've got weaponry. They've got weaponry that they know about that they're only just starting to show us. Just imagine everybody out there. If that weaponry can kill those thousands of cattle, just wait for some great big protest because they know they're worth hanging. And they know certainly the American people have done it before. Then they just zap a whole crowd. That will put everyone in so much fear. They're ready. But what you need to understand is that you're not here. You're actually in the heavenlies. You've actually been given weapons that are not carnal. That's all Satan can work with is carnal weapons. These high energy beams and other techno witchcraft that he is using. It's all carnal stuff. That's all he's got. You know, we've got weapons that are mighty in God that aren't carnal for the demolishing of strongholds and casting down of all of these things. What is it? The casting down of arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Do you think this weaponry, this satellite weaponry, these energy beams, or even the towers, are not coming under the category of every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? They do. They come into the category of every high thing that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. And we've got the responsibility to demolish it and to cast it down. And you've got to say it. You've got to use the sword of the Spirit. You've got to say, I cast you down. I have the weapons that are mighty in God. For the demolishing of your strongholds, I speak division amongst you. I speak confusion amongst you, for the Lord has not given me a spirit of fear and confusion, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. But the Lord has given the enemy a spirit of fear and confusion and a spirit of division and of hatred for one another, so that they devour each other. So, and madness upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I cast you down. I cast you down to hell where you belong. You are bound. You cannot operate. And all of your witchcraft is sent back unto you. Understand, everybody, this is witchcraft. It is a techno witchcraft. And it is nothing new. It's actually ancient. We'll talk about that another time. Everything that we are seeing now has been done before. Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. Take note that in all of the ancient cultures, they were always very interested in Asherah poles, tall towers that were part of their altars. What do you think these towers are that we see everywhere? They call them cell phone towers, communication towers. They are Asherah poles. That's what they are. They're Asherah poles. So we need to treat them for exactly what they are. The devil has been disguising them with language, calling them something that they are not. They are Asherah poles that need to be cast down. In the spirit realm, you need to cast them down and utilize your weaponry. Utilize the weapons that you have, which are not carnal, but are mighty in God for the demolishing of the strongholds, casting down the arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And when we see that, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, we're dealing with binding and loosing again. When you bind something, you're taking it into captivity. You bind it. It's bound up. It's taken captive. So understand what you're dealing with. Learn how to use the word of God. Learn how to use your weapons and learn how mighty they are. Remember that the word of God is Jesus Christ. You find it in John. The word was with God and the word was God. And that's Jesus Christ, and he's won the victory. There's so much in this. I mean, I could go on forever, but we're not going to have time. But I do want to have a look at, this is the sort of thing I'm talking about, okay? And this helped me. This is the sort of the spirit. Now, we can really take a big leaf out of David's book, King David. Now, look, I mean, I love the Psalms. I love the Psalms very, very much. And just so that you know, witches know that the Bible is God's word. They know that it's very powerful. In fact, they actually utilize it, particularly the Old Testament, in their spells. But they twist it and they utilize it for nefarious purposes because they know it. They know that it is the word of God. You need to know that it's the word of God. You need to know that it's actually powerful and learn to use it right, because it says to us that we're to study the word to show ourselves approved. So we need to do that. Just an example, you've got to understand David was already anointed king, and there was another king, King Saul. And God had actually taken his spirit from King Saul because he disobeyed God, and he'd already anointed David. Now, Saul knew this. And so what Saul did was he chased David for about 14 years. He basically gang-stalked David with a whole army of men for 14 years, right across the whole area of Israel, even into the Palestinian territory, everywhere he went, trying to kill him. And I said to God many years ago, God, you know, I don't understand the Psalms. I just don't understand them. Can you please give me an understanding of the Psalms so I can understand them? Because I just don't. And well, you know, I mean, you know, stupid me, I made a request like that, because what God tends to do with me is he throws me in the deep end, you know, and he always puts me in the position where I have to experience things to understand it. And basically, I found myself in a situation like David was, where I was being gang stalked for quite a long time. And I cried out to God for help, because I didn't know what was going on. And that's when I discovered the Psalms. And the heart of David crying out to God for help through all of this. And, you know, I mean, it's like, God, couldn't you have taught me another way? Like, you know what, you know, it's something a bit easier, because that's really, really hard. but it's good, because I know that I know that I know that I know that I know it, because it's deep inside, because I've experienced it, right? So this is one that has really, really helped me. When I started coming against this pleading to God for help, basically being in a very David experience. And I just want to context this by saying, understand, we are the rightful kings and priests. We are the rightful leaders. This is our inheritance. This earth is our inheritance. God has, we've already been anointed, just like David was already anointed. There's a whole bunch of Sauls out there. The kingdom's already been taken from them because they've disobeyed. They were supposed to be rightful kings. A lot of them started off good, but they've been corrupted, just like Saul has. And God's actually anointed a whole bunch of new people to take their place, and they really hate that. And that's why you're finding a lot of people being silenced and censored, and that's why you're finding these laws against free speech, and that's why you're seeing people being killed. And a lot of people in the alternative media, very well-known immunologists, antivirus guys, doctors, very well-trained, who were speaking out against this inoculation, all of a sudden dying or losing their licenses, attacked because there is... people who are in these positions of power that were actually supposed to do the right thing, that were probably called by God originally, but they've let power corrupt them, just like Saul. So we are the Davids now. And this is one verse, it's Psalm 35, that really helped me. And I can say it the way I say it, because I know it, because I feel it. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Also draw out the spear and stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let those be put to shame and brought to dishonor who seek after my life. Let those be turned back and brought to confusion who plot my hurt. Let them be like chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord pursue them. For without cause, they have hidden their net for me in a pit, which they have dug without cause for my life. Let destruction come upon him unexpectedly, and let his net that he has hidden catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, and it shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who's like you? Delivering the poor from him who is still too strong for him. Yes, the poor and needy from him who plunders him. Fierce witnesses rise up. They ask me things that I do not know. They reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. I paced about as though he were my friend or brother, and I bowed down heavily as one who mourns for his mother. But in my adversity, they rejoiced and gathered together. Attackers gathered against me, and I did not know it. They tore at me, and they did not cease. With ungodly mockers at feast, they gnashed at me with their teeth. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their destructions, my precious life from the lions. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. Let them not rejoice over me who are wrongfully my enemies, nor let them wink with the eye who hate me without a cause, for they do not speak peace. But they advise deceitful matters against the quiet ones in the land. They also open their mouths wide against me and say, aha, aha, our eyes have seen it. This you have seen, O Lord, do not keep silence. O Lord, do not be far from me. Stir up yourself and awaken to my vindication, to my cause, my God and my Lord. Vindicate me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, so we would have it. Let them not say we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who rejoice at my hurts. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who exalt themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, and my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. Now, I found that particular one of my favorite verses. I know it's a bit of a long one, but it pretty much says it. And I'm telling you, it's the angels who pick up the word of God. You know, that's your sword of the spirit. The angels are the ones who are sent to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. And they obey the word of God. This is the word of God. And they go out, and I'm telling you, you do something like this, you pray out something like this, and you watch the devil and his agents be stopped in their tracks. They don't know what to do. They're not used to it. But we need to do this. You need to let God show you. You need to let God take you to a verse. Now, look, I'll give you an example of how effective this is. I've been praying this out for a while, and I started to see them backing off. But then one morning I was up and I was starting my prayer. I went to go to Psalm 35, and I kept feeling like a nudge from God saying Isaiah 35. I'm thinking, oh, no, I'm missing out on this. I'm getting it wrong. Is it right? But every time I went to go to Psalm 35, I kept getting this Isaiah 35. And anyway, so I thought, oh, well, I'm going to do that. So I did. Now, what you've got to understand here is that the area that I've been in has been in drought, severe drought for quite a while. And just trying to find the King James version of this. I mean, it was really, really dry. It was so dry, our land, our earth was like brass. I actually thought, oh God, I've moved to a place that's got terrible soil. There was no rain. In fact, we had huge fires not too long ago. But I thought, okay, God, well, if you want me to do this, I'm going to do this. And it was really interesting because I didn't know what it was going to say. This is what it says, and it's really interesting. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak knees and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are full-hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, with recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like deer and the tongue of the dumb sing, for the waters shall burst forth in the wilderness. See that? The waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation where dragons lay, and there were plenty of dragons around here, let me tell you, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. And we actually live on a highway. It's like, it's fascinating. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Well, after I started praying that out, everybody out there in podcast land, it started raining. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and waters burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground became pools of water and the thirsty land springs of water. And there's grass and there's reeds and rushes. And I'm telling you, I mean, you know, where it says, you know, be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance and with a recompense. He will come and save you. It was a promise to me. And I mean, it's beyond coincidence, because there was hardly any rain here. And those fires that went right through, they were really quite, well, they consumed a lot. And it wasn't fun. God spared our property, actually spared the town, in actual fact. The fire was coming straight for town, and just as it was coming into town, it did a hard right. Who ever heard of a fire immediately turning on a hard right? So I'm just telling you, like, especially when God leads you, the word of God is powerful. So be encouraged, everyone. The word of God is very, very powerful. It is it is strong and it is powerful. And I think it's in Hebrews. The word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword, able to divide between soul and spirit and bone and marrow, and discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's it. So the word of God is quick and sharper than a two-edged sword. But I'm telling you, this was really quick. When I started praying that out, I mean, no one would have thought that it was going to rain. So you need to understand, you know, it's not just about having your armor, and that was covered in the first podcast. It's about knowing how to use your armor, and it's very important to understand your position. You're coming from a position of power. You're coming from a high, strong tower. Remember that Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You see, you're hidden. I will say, the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. I mean, look, these electronic beams, these high energy beams, are they or are they not arrows that fly by day? Are they not a terror by night, you know? Nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. Hello, have we or have we not seen pestilence? And in Matthew 24, it promises pestilence for the last days, for this time, and that's what we're seeing. And we're not to be afraid of it, Psalm 91. Nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. I think we're going to see a lot of destruction. 1,000 may fall at our side, but 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. It shall not come near you and me. Only with our eyes shall we look, and we shall see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. See, we've made the Most High our dwelling place. We're in the Most High. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Can I hear an amen out there? Can I hear an amen? You know, no plague shall come near your dwelling. It's not just your house, but it's your body. This is your body. This is the house that we dwell in. This body, this physical frame is our dwelling that our soul lives in right now. And it says, no plague shall come near your dwelling. This is your inoculation, the word of God. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion on the cobra. But there it is. It's not just a New Testament promise. It's an Old Testament promise. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. There we go. We're set on high once again. This is not just New Testament stuff. This is Old Testament too. Because he has known my name, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Notice he's not telling you that you won't have trouble. He's just saying that he'll be with us in trouble. And he will deliver you. He will deliver them. I will deliver them and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You see, so, you know, the shield of faith. You got to believe. You got to believe God's word. If you don't believe God's word, it's not going to give any power to the sword of the Spirit. You know, the shield of faith with which I can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil ones. You know, what's coming at you is a whole bunch of arrows from the evil one. all those fear arrows coming at you. They're that's the devil trying to get you to get into fear. And all fear is believing what the devil can do, not what God can do. Fear is just the flip side of faith. And it's, you know, who are you going to believe? What God says or the devil? You know, have your shield of faith ready to use. Use it. And, you know, it quenches all the fiery darts of the evil one. Send them back. They don't like it when you send them back. All of a sudden they realize that there's someone a whole lot greater than who they're worshiping. And this is, it's like people are after power. People are looking for power. They're looking for power to overcome the troubles of what is going on. And unfortunately, the church is not teaching people about power. But the devil is. He is. And he's giving it to them. And the only place he gets his power from is from God. Because all power has been given to Jesus Christ. He goes and he gets it. He asks for it. I don't know all the machinations of what actually happens in the heavenlies about how he gets and all that sort of thing. But you can actually see him going to God in the book of Job and asking God if he can do stuff to him. And God gives him permission. So, you know, clearly he's been given a certain amount of power. He's giving it to his followers. And he's basically been whipping our backside, you know. And good. Because we needed to wake up. We really needed to wake up. And it's only when you get a hiding that you actually do wake up. And so we need to be equipped. Not only do you need to know that you've got weapons, you need to know that you've got a whole army with you. You need to know you've got an army of angels with you. There's more with us than there is of them. Much more. And we've actually got the power. And you need to know what your position is. We're above. And we're not below. We are above. And you need to know that your position is from above when you take out your sword of the Spirit. And you need to know how to stand. And stand and take back your land, take back your inheritance, your covenant rights, take them back. Stand, do not cave. And it's not too late. Of course, there's a whole bunch of things that is already written in God's word that are a done deal. And we know that. But that doesn't mean that we have to be defeated by it. All we need to know is what's happening to the wicked. And to try and save as many wicked as we can out of that and have them translated into God's kingdom of light, the kingdom of his son, while they still can. Because there is a time when God hands people over to a reprobate mind and he'll just let them have the natural results of their wickedness and the devil have his way with them. And we're coming up to that time, if we're not already in it. There is a time. When God just hands people over, there is a time when God hands whole nations over and doesn't contend with man anymore because they reach a point where there's no use doing it. But while we can actually take people out of the fire and show these witches that there is much more power to come against what they're using and that. Who they're worshiping is not the be all and end all, but there is another way, there is a better way. And by using your weaponry against what they are doing, that gives them a real wake up call. They start asking questions of their dark lord. They start going, hang on here. How come this guy was able to beat me? How come this spirit came back to me and did to me? How come, hang on, why do they have more power than you? So when they start asking questions like that, that's when they start to realize that there is a greater power. And who is that greater power? It's Lord Jesus Christ. Diana, do you want me to finish in prayer now?
Yeah, first of all, let me just make a few comments.
Sure.
Awesome. Sure. I love the fact that you shared about how the Lord showed you the condition of Satan now at pride open with a knife in that outer shell that, you know, he's hiding behind, thinks he's got it, but then he's all shriveled up and putrefied and you know, all of that. And the Lord has already gained the victory. And the fact also with all the techno witchcraft, so to speak, the directed energy weapons, you know, that they're using to wipe out food processing plants, flocks, herds, our food supply, and take out groups of people, you know, spraying us like bugs and so much more. You know, you can count on the fact that the focal point is soon to be the saints of God. And this is why it's so important that we as saints of God know our position in Christ Jesus. You know, like God told me, a few years back, he said, the weapons of man will not be able to help you. So yes, the weapons of our warfare are absolutely not, or they better not be, carnal, because if the enemy can keep us in this realm, you know, he has the advantage. And the days ahead, with all the stuff going on, we've got to have that covering, that Psalm 91 that you read, all the covering of the Lord, because they're going to be turning these weapons on the poor humans, right? And trying to destroy God's creation. So I just wanted to say that very, very amazing, you know, our focal point has to be above. We have to know our position in Christ and come from that position. I love how you drew that out and showed the correct translation there, that should be demolish strongholds. So praise God. And yes, please close it in prayer.
So yes, I will just start to thank you, God. Thank you for this time together. Thank you so much that you've been teaching me how to use the armor of God. Thank you for showing me, thank you for taking me through these hard lessons so that I can know that I know that I know, and give me the ability to share these things with other people of your kingdom who need to know as well. Thank you that you have given us the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and have all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. Thank you that you sent your Son, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, the only begotten Son of God, born of a virgin, to come to earth, be born of a virgin, the second Adam, the new Adam, who offered himself up as a human sacrifice for us, and took upon himself all the death, all the sin, all the results of death and sin upon himself. He paid the price for our sin so that we can pass from death unto life. And through our faith in his death and resurrection, we can have eternal life, life more abundantly. That you have given us power and dominion, and you have raised us up with Jesus Christ and seated us in the heavenly realms together with him, far above all power, principality, rule, or throne, or dominion, and every name that can be named. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that you have given us this authority. Pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will enlighten all of us even more so during the time, during this time. Prepare us during the time and do a quick work, quicken us, anoint us, teach us, let us stand up as mighty men and women of valor for you, Lord, and to fight the good fight in Jesus Christ's name, and how to operate the weapons you have given us, which are mighty in God, that are not carnal, but are mighty, mighty weapons of God, so that we can stand, that we can know what our inheritance is, that we can know what your word says. You teach us how to use the sword of the Spirit and your armor, and to stand, therefore, and to stand and to take back and to claim what we've lost, and to regain and to occupy until the Lord comes again. Let us be found faithful. I pray always that, that Diana and my mate and all the people who are listening to this podcast would be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man, in Jesus Christ's name, by the power of two or three witnesses, everything is established, in Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much for coming on, and hopefully you'll be able to come back soon, and we'll discuss, finish our discussions and continue on the equipping of the bride. So until next time, God bless you all.
God bless you all.